For tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Saturday morning service of November the 29th, 1997, of the Thanksgiving camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Linda Sutter is the speaker for the morning.
He is here. Hallelujah. He
heal you this morning. He wants to touch you in your body, no matter what it is. The greatest disease in the world is not greater than the presence of the Lord Jesus coming into your life. Amen. And I want us to sing that again. He's speaking to us. His Spirit is speaking to us this morning about healing. And He can touch you. You don't need hands laid on you. You don't need anybody to come back and speak deliverance over you. His presence is here. Jesus is here. Hallelujah. You just lift your hands. He's here. You'll never be the same again. Hallelujah. Let's sing it. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless His name again. He is here. Listen closely. He the same. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to the Lamb of God. Ando bobo sarabala randala bobo randa. Nekaya sababa randala bobo randa. Oh, He sent His Word and healed them. Hallelujah. He sent His Word and healed them. He's sending His Word this morning. If you've been listening and He's healing you this morning, just take a deep breath and receive the healing power of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, He's here. Glory to God. The glory is here. The glory is here. Oh, the presence of our Jesus is in our midst this morning. Hallelujah. Glory, glory to Your name. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You know, there isn't any words greater than what we've just experienced here. I don't think the most eloquent speaker in the world can do better than what Jesus has done here this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just raise your hands and thank Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You begin to thank Him for what He's done for you. You begin to thank Him. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, and I want to say something this morning. The devil hates the word arise. He hates the word arise. Because the Spirit of Jesus speaks to us in every situation that we find ourselves in to rise up. Amen? Every situation we find ourselves to rise up. Turn to Acts chapter 12. Oh, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can't see. Let's sing it again. I still feel it. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless His name again. Hear Him calling out Your name. He is here. You can touch Him. You will never be the same. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The night before Herod was to bring Him, to bring Peter to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. Chapter 12, verse 6. And sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off his wrist. And I believe that the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us today to get up quickly. Hallelujah. The quick get up. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I want to talk about that for a couple of moments this morning, maybe two or three, because I believe that the Spirit of God has something to say to us about that phrase, rise up quickly, or quick get up. And I'm no scholar, but I did take out the Strong's Concordance, and I looked up the meaning of that word, arise. And I found that it has many applications. Yes. Not just one, not even two, but it's got seven applications this morning about arise. And I want us to notice something in Acts chapter 12. The way I do things, I'll take a portion of Scripture and then maybe try to put it in an outline, and what was the Spirit saying for that time? What was the example? And then how can I take this? And how can you take this? and apply it to our lives for right now. Amen?
Amen.
How we can apply it to our lives for right now. And we will see that the very things that the writer of the book of Acts was speaking about, we can take that outline, we can take that example, and we can go and make it work in our own lives.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Make it work in our own lives. Now, I want you to say it with me this morning. The devil hates the word arise.
The devil hates the word arise.
Say it again.
The devil hates the word arise.
You better believe it. The devil hates the word arise because it is contrary to everything that God had purposed for this earth right at the beginning.
Yes.
Because God was saying, when He said, replenish the earth, He was speaking to arise, to make it all new again. And see, everything that God does through Christ Jesus, He's always making things new. We never have to dwell where we were yesterday. We're the only people that can honestly say we don't have a past, we only have a present and a future. How do you like that? Some of you have been bound by chains of sin. Some of you have been bound by all kinds of things that have kept you from going forward in God. And I want to tell you, it is the lie of the enemy. Because Jesus has spoken to you to rise up quickly. Now let's look at this verse and let's dissect it a little bit. Because you see, Peter was in a death situation. How many of you have ever felt like you've been in a death situation? You know, my brother over here, I don't really know you, brother, was standing next to me when we were praying. But, you know, he said to me this morning, he said, I prayed for you. We were praying for you about a brain tumor or something. And I said, I appreciate that, you know, because some of you know and some of you don't. And I'm giving this testimony only for the sake of example this morning, not to draw any attention. But 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with a cancerous brain tumor. And I am the most optimistic person, I think, in the world. I never have ever dreamed that anything like that would happen to me. But after a couple of seizures, and one even happened down here, a couple of them happened here, my sister insisted, you know, that I go to the doctor and see what was going on. And I went and I got some x-rays, got an MRI, and talked to the neurosurgeon, and the neurosurgeon said, you have got a brain tumor. He says, we think it's cancer, but you can never be sure till you do a biopsy. And he says, we need to do a biopsy, and then we need to go in there and debulk that thing. And then we've got to do radiation, and we've got to do chemotherapy. And you know, all I could think about was my hair falling out. And I just wasn't up to that. Now, in sharing this and sharing the scripture, I want to say, you know, God deals with each one of us differently. If you'll look over at the beginning of chapter 12, you will see that the reason that Peter was going to be put to death is because James had been put to death. And Herod saw that this was politically good for him to put Peter to death, so he was going to do that also. And I want to say that to say this. Don't go comparing yourselves one to another. Don't go and long for a certain kind of ministry because somebody else has a certain kind of ministry. You know, I found myself really guilty of this. You know, I sit here and I listen to Phil play the piano and I think, man, if I could just play the piano like you, Phil. Amen. You can find a seat if you want. I think I'm done for a few minutes. And I can't. You know, and I see somebody preach a certain way, and I think, man, I wish I could preach like Mildred here, you know. I mean, I wish I could get up and talk about life like she does. And I think she's a good example of life and of the life message, and I wish I could do that. But it's not my personality, you know. And we make the mistake, and we waste a lot of God's time comparing ourselves to one another and doing nothing because we think we can't do it good enough. Because we can't do it the way somebody else does it. One time I said to another lady who was in the ministry, I said, boy, I wish I could preach like that person. And she says, Linda, don't say that. She said, you're comparing yourself to her is like comparing a flute and a trumpet. You've got a different sound, but you're in the same orchestra. Amen. And I want to say that to us this morning. Don't go trying to compare yourself to anybody, because you've just got a different sound, but you're still in the same orchestra. You're still making a melodious sound to the Lord in what He's called you to do. And so we see before Jesus ascended that Peter was concerned about everybody else. In fact, he's been mentioned a few times this weekend. And when you study his life, you see he's a study in contradictions. You know, he just says one thing and he does another till after the day of Pentecost. Amen. He'll say one thing and then he'll contradict himself. And so he tried to compare himself to John. If you remember in John chapter 21, when Jesus spoke to Peter about how he was going to die, and Peter said, well, what about this one? And what did Jesus say? What is that to you? What difference does that make? You know, this is what my purpose for you is. And I want to say that to us this morning. This is what God's purpose for you is. And so here was Peter. He was as good as dead. But you see, God wasn't done with him yet. God wasn't finished with him. And you know, when I got that prognosis from the doctor, I had this sense that my destiny was not fulfilled. I really did. That's the best way to put it. I just felt that my destiny wasn't done yet. Now, before all this happened, I remember I was sitting in my office one day, and the thought came to mind, what if you couldn't travel anymore? What if you couldn't do this anymore? And then I started thinking about heaven. And I started thinking about the loved ones I had that were in heaven. And I got kind of homesick for heaven. First time that had ever happened. I got homesick for heaven. And then just a week or so later, the doctor tells me this. And I thought about that, and I realized that it was the enemy that made me homesick for heaven. Listen to this. I could have said, well, that's a confirmation. God's going to take me home real shortly here. You know, the enemy can make things look so good to you. He can make it look so right, and you'll get all kinds of confirmations about things that speak of death and not of life. Do you hear me? He'll give you all kinds of confirmations. You're not feeling good. Lord's going to take me home, you know, and you'll submit to that thing when your destiny in God is not yet fulfilled. Hallelujah. Peter's destiny wasn't fulfilled. Now, I want you to see where Peter was. He was in prison. His circumstances hadn't changed a bit. He was bound by chains. Herod was not going to let this man get away. In fact, he must have had an inkling that something could happen. All those, for him to have all those guards around him. Yes. Amen? He must have had some kind of an inkling that there might be something that would happen. But the angel of the Lord came to Peter. Now, I said all that to say this. Why did all this happen? It says over here in chapter 12, verse 5, Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying for him. That's it. That's the key. The church was earnestly praying for him. Now, I want to tell you, after I got that prognosis from the doctor, and he was very serious about it, and I said, well, you know, doctor, I want quality of life. I don't want quantity. I don't care if I have an extra year or two. That doesn't even turn my head. And I didn't feel so brave, but I just, because he said, we'll do all that, and he says, it's going to come back again. I thought, well, if it's going to come back again, forget it. You know, I've got some better ideas here. Amen. Now, that doctor was speaking out of his knowledge, out of his training. But I want to tell you, and thanks to the Lord, something rose up in me as I sat in that examining room that wasn't me, but something rose up in me that responded to the training that I had had. And that was this, that my God heals thee. Amen. I am the God that healeth thee. Amen. My training rose up, and something else took over in me. And you know, he wasn't happy about it at all, that doctor. He thought I was a nut. He walked out of there and just shook his head. And, you know, he was a nice guy, but I understand a little bit. There have been some others that have responded similarly, and he wasn't the only one that gave that prognosis. I went to the Mayo Clinic, sent things out to the University of Virginia, and everybody said the same thing. But I'll tell you what, God is greater. Because the church was praying. I walked out of that doctor's office, and I didn't call First Bank or First Star, anybody like that. I called the church. I called Glenn. I called Brother Kalinda up in Upper Michigan, who believes in healing. I called three people, and all three said exactly the same thing. And it was, the words might have been different, but this thing isn't to death. Glenn said, I cursed that thing. I cursed the roots of it. Can't you hear him? The church was praying. And because of the church praying, the angel of the Lord came in and stood before Peter and said those words that the devil hates, rise up quickly. Hallelujah. Now, I want to tell you the meanings of that word arise. You can find the same thing out if you just look in your concordance. And the very first thing that word arise means, it's the idea of collecting your thoughts. Getting your thoughts together. You see in chapter 12, verse 12, speaking of Peter, it said when all had dawned on him what had happened. You know, he had collected his thoughts. He thought at first he had seen a dream, or he'd seen a vision, or he'd had a dream. But when he got outside of the prison and was going down the street, suddenly, you know, he realized what was happening. He collected his thoughts. And you know what? You can do the same thing. You can collect your thoughts. You know, your thoughts seem scattered sometimes. They're all out here. You can speak to your thoughts. And you can speak to your mind to come in harmony with the Word of God. Amen. It means collecting your thoughts. The other thing, one of the other things it means is to wake up.
Yes.
To wake up. I want you to see something here. Those chains didn't fall off Peter's wrist until he stood up. You hear that?
Yes.
They didn't fall off his wrist till he stood up. And too often, many of God's people will hear the word of the Lord, and they will sit there and wait for him to do something when they haven't been willing to do what he said in the very beginning, and that's to quit, get up. Nothing's going to change. He could have looked at the sentries that were sleeping around him, the chains, and he, you know, reasoned with the angel about this thing. How can I get up? I've got chains on me. Here's these guards that are guarding me. They're going to kill me in the morning. And with us, I believe we can take this example from Peter. To not look at our circumstances, but to respond to that initial word of the Lord to get up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
He got additional instructions after he stood up. It wasn't all mapped out before him. Now see what a difference this is between the Peter here and the Peter that jumped out of the boat to walk on the water. You know, he looked at the waves and he got filled with fear and he started to sink. This is a different man here. This is a man who's been filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a man who's been empowered by God. We see a different individual. Then when he did stand up, the angel gave him additional instructions to get dressed. He was going to leave that place. Going to leave it. He wasn't that God's purposes for Peter did not involve him staying there and testifying to Herod. His plans were different.
Yes.
Another meaning of the word arise is to rise up from sitting or lying down. Wonderful parallels here, isn't there, Brother Bill? Wonderful parallels. God may be asking you to stand or to walk, to change your position. You know, there will be times that God will call you to one thing, and you'll do that for a time, but he'll have some other purposes for you. You know, think because he's called you to be in a particular place at a particular time doesn't always mean that you're to stay there forever. It may be that he's going to move you on and put you somewhere else. Hallelujah. Kutalabaha, shatalababa, randalabakaya. Amen. Come on. Say, hey salama andole ekeba abba arara reba la 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 baranda la babara. Say, we rebuke every bit of confusion that is warred against our brother's mind in the name of Jesus. And we take authority over every word that has been spoken to him, trying to give him direction when he needs to hear, thus saith the Lord to his heart. And God, I pray that as he takes that step and rises up from sitting or from lying down, that you're going to make the path plain to him and show him, Lord, the way that he is to walk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now there's another meaning of this word, arise at Altea. I love. And when I saw what this was, I just shouted all over the house. And it is to rise up from disease and death. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Yes. Amen. Rise up from disease or death. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, rababa shatele ba kandola ba ho rababa koranda. Hallelujah. Amen. God is speaking to us this morning. From the beginning of the service till now, to rise up from disease and death. Now I want to tell you, you're not always going to feel like that. If you're going to look at your emotions, you are not going to feel like rising up from disease and death. Many a time, and I can say when I didn't feel like getting out of bed, let alone rising up from disease and death. And there'd be people that would come to the house when I could barely walk up and down the stairs back when this first happened. And you won't believe this, they came for deliverance, and I sat in bed, propped myself up, and spoke deliverance to them. And I thought, can't they see that I'm sick? What's the matter? What's the matter with these people? You know? But you see, God was putting me in a position not to look at my circumstances and not to dwell on the fact that I was tired, that I had a headache, that I didn't have the energy to do anything, getting my attention on the things of the kingdom. Hallelujah. There's another meaning of the word arise, and I love this one as well. I like them all. It means to rise up out of obscurity, to rise up out of inactivity, to rise up out of ruins and non-existence. Hallelujah. Over in Romans chapter 8, keep your finger in Acts chapter 12, and let's flip over to Romans chapter 8 for a minute. Probably one of Tommy's favorite chapters. It's one of my favorite chapters. Probably one of yours too. Because we see what God purposes for us in the end time. Yes. Hallelujah. Verse 18. Let's start at 18. I consider, Paul speaking, that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. Brother Trent last night or yesterday was talking about those that are being led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. And I want to tell you that there are people all around you that are waiting for you to arise out of your situation where you are. They're waiting for you to come forth and to bring change on the face of this earth. Waiting for you to arise out of your obscurity and your inactivity. And one of the things I'm learning, that some of the people that give you the biggest problem are the ones that are daring you to arise and to minister to them. You know, I can only say that now because I don't live in fantasy land any longer. You know, I was single till I was 50 years old. And then I got married and inherited 6 children, 17 grandchildren, and 27 great-grandchildren. You know, my life used to be, you know, if there's a problem, hey, I'm out of here. You know? That doesn't work now. And I found out that, you know, when you got a problem, one day I was all upset. There was some problem, and I don't know if I called Glenn or Glenn called me. I think you called me. Twice he's called me. That had a very definite effect on my life. And I said something to him, and he said, well, things sound pretty normal to me. And I, all of a sudden, the lights went on. And I thought, hey, that's right. I've never had a problem. Because every time a problem arose, you know, I was an evangelist. You know, you have a problem in the church, well, you're over in the next church. You don't have to worry about that. You know, run away from it. It doesn't work when you're when you got a family like I have. And I found out that some of those family members are daring me. They're absolutely daring me to get a touch of God to minister to them. I don't understand it. But God is calling us to rise up out of our inactivity and our obscurity, our ruins, and our non-existence. You see, some years ago, God spoke to me and said that in the days to come, and I believe it's still before us and it's happening right now, that people are going to begin to rise up that you've never heard of before. And you've wondered, man, how have I lived so long without this person in my life? And they're beginning to speak a depth of the Spirit that your heart has longed for. They've been on the backside of the desert somewhere, getting prepared by the Holy Spirit for this end time. And I believe that the word of the Lord is coming to them, to us, to rise up out of that place of obscurity where no one has seen us. Just like Jesus, when he was growing up, he wasn't of much, people didn't notice him that much. Not until he came forth in his ministry did people begin to notice him. There was a time in God, and I'll tell you what, there's a time in God for us. For you, there's a time in God for you. Hallelujah. Now there's one more meaning of this word, arise, and it means, and I love this one too. It means to rise up again. He never intends for you to stay where you fell. He doesn't intend for you to stay wherever it was that you sinned. You rise up from that sin. Amen?
Amen?
You rise up from that place where the devil got you. God doesn't intend for you to stay there.
Amen.
He doesn't have any plans at all for you to stay in that place. Now, other people might try to keep you there. But that's not God's plan. Amen. We heard a word this morning. He restores the years that the palmer worm and the canker worm has eaten. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every mistake you've made, every sin you've ever sinned, I don't care how great or how small, it's under the blood of Jesus. You've been forgiven. Amen. You've been redeemed. Hallelujah. You have been set free and you're being set free by the word that is being spoken to you. I'll tell you what, as this word came to me, you know, it's kind of interesting when it happened. This thing, I got a hold of me on Passover weekend. The devil hates the word arise. And I wasn't feeling very good. And a brother who I'd never seen before, we didn't even share the same doctrine, came over and he laid hands on me and he began to pray and he began to intercede and call me to arise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, it's been working ever since. It's been working ever since. Hallelujah. Now somebody will ask, well, are you healed yet? Well, let me tell you this. I haven't had any more MRIs. I don't want to have any more. But a few months ago, I went to the doctor. Now I've got a different doctor now, a neurologist. And one time he said to me, I moved to a different town, so I got this different neurologist, and he said, hey, he said, I said, I don't want surgery. I said, I don't want one thing invading this skull. And he said, hey, it's your body. Do what you want. That's exactly what he said, and that's the way he said it. And so a few months ago, I went to see him and did the, you know, the some of the tests to find out, you know, if you're seeing double and if you can walk in a straight line and stand on one foot and all that. Well, you know how I am, you know. And he went through all those things and he leaned back in his chair and he smiled. And I'll tell you, it does something when you see a doctor smile. I don't care what you say. And he said, you are doing terrific. He says, just keep on doing what you're doing. Say your prayers. He said, I said, I've been saying them. Amen. He says, you're doing terrific. Well, I thank God. It's not because of my faith, I'll tell you that. It's because the people of God have prayed. The church has prayed. That's where I. That's because I can stand here this afternoon or this morning and tell you, because the church prayed, I'm here. Hallelujah. Nothing else really matters. I'm here. And I don't believe, personally, that my destiny is fulfilled yet. I don't think it's done. Now, I would be just overjoyed if when it is done, that God takes me home when I'm singing a song or something like that. I'd love that. I'd just love it. Just bang, you know? I'd love that. I mean, it's happened to others. I'd like to, Lord, you heard my prayer this morning. You know, you can do it. When you're done with me. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I want to say something else to us this morning. You know, a true prophet of God, when a prophet speaks to you, they are not going to just speak death or gloom and doom. I say that just about every time I get up. The prophets of old always spoke after they had pronounced their judgment. They still prophesied hope for Israel. Do you hear that? And anybody who prophesies to you, gives you a word of the Lord, if it is not a word that encourages and lifts you up, now there may be a problem in your life and it needs to be dealt with, and the prophet, someone comes along and begins to speak to you and you need to take care of a sin or something like that, that's one thing. But a true prophet of God will speak hope to Israel. Amen. Amen. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. Amen. He's not willing that you should stay in that dungeon like Peter did, or where Peter was. God, wasn't God's intention to keep him in that place. It was his intention to bring him out and to use him to reach the Gentiles. And to use him as an example of how God will change a life. Amen. Because as I said, he's a completely different individual after the day of Pentecost. Now, what is God saying to us in all of this?
Rise.
First of all, to rise up. To put our clothes on. Put your shoes on. Get ready to walk. Get ready to get out of that place.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Put your coat on.
Yes.
Amen. You know, I talk to people once in a while and they'll feel that they've got this great call of God on their life, this great ministry that has been prophesied to them. And maybe they do, but they're not doing anything about it.
Right.
They're not getting changed. They're not waiting on God. They're not letting the Word. They're not being filled with the Word. They're not learning the Word. They're just waiting. They're waiting for something. I used to be part of a prayer group years ago, and I'm not going to tell you where it is or anything like that, but it was people who were mature in God. Mature. They weren't young people. In fact, when the young people came in, they tried to put the kibosh on. There was these older people, and they were waiting for the revival. Waiting for the revival. I'll tell you, they had a vision of the end time, and I mean, it was good, but they weren't doing anything. They were just sitting there waiting for the revival, waiting for the renewal. And when the young people came in and began to demonstrate renewal and began to demonstrate revival, they didn't like it. And it's interesting to me that a lot of times we pray for revival, and when it comes, we don't recognize it because it's not like what we were touched by. And we just say, this can't be of God. You know, this isn't the presence of the Lord like I knew the presence of the Lord. My husband and I were in a meeting a while back, and I remember as a young person, when God was moving in the way that He did at that time, I looked at those older people kind of with disdain, and I thought, they're just not with it. They're just not with it. They just can't get into it, you know. Well, I realize now that the reason they didn't get into it is they didn't have all that youthful energy that they did when they were 18 or 19 years old. And so we were sitting in this meeting, and I mean, people were bouncing off the walls and running all over the church. And I sat back and I looked at my husband and I said, I never thought I would see the day when I would sit back and watch the others really worship the Lord like this. Well, I wish he'd been here last night because I began to move in a realm I hadn't been in for a while. Amen. New life. God is speaking to us to get dressed and get ready.
Yes.
And begin to move and be ready for when we hear the call of the Spirit to go forth. Hallelujah. Yes. To go forth. Hallelujah. God, you see your people here this morning.
Yes.
You see those that are bound by disease. Some of you are bound by cancers, tumors, and you're waiting, you're wondering what God's got for you next. I tell you what, speak to that tumor, speak to that growth, to go in the name of Jesus. Some of you have terrible problems that have come here. Some of you have come because you want the presence of the Lord. I want the presence of the Lord. But some of you have come because you don't know where to turn. You've got terrible problems in your life, and you maybe haven't told anybody about them, but you're in desperate straits. God doesn't intend for you to stay in those desperate straits. He doesn't intend for you to keep wallowing in that. His plan is for you to come up out of that. Amen. And take hold of what is available for you in Christ Jesus. I want to tell you something else that happened in all of this. For whoever it may apply to. I don't know if it applies to anybody but myself. But when the word got out that I had a problem, I needed prayer, many people started calling me with cancer cures. I mean, I ate so much asparagus and drank so much carrot juice and took so many shark cartilage pills. You know, and I don't want, and everybody was well-meaning, and I was willing to go that route, and I think there's validity in it, okay? But one day I saw all these pill bottles of remedies sitting there on the kitchen table, and I looked at all of those things, and it just absolutely overwhelmed me. And I started to cry. And you know, the words of a Sunday school song came into my mind as I sat there, and it was, the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own.
Amen.
And I realized I could trust in that echinacea and that garlic. I'll tell you, I ate so much garlic, my pores exuded garlic. Nobody wanted to come near me in a second. I had so much garlic in me one time, the doctor was examining me. And I can smell it myself, you know, and that's pretty bad, you know. And I made some comment about the garlic, and he said, well, he says, it's burning the hairs of my nostrils, I'll tell you that. You know, and I'm not going to dispute the fact that there is something good in all of that. But I know this, there's no substitute for the fact that Jesus' death on the cross alone, alone is for my healing.
Yes.
Everything that I need this morning, everything that you need this morning, is in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I don't care what the problem is, the answer is in Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. By His stripes, I have been healed.
Yes.
Hallelujah. By His stripes, you have been healed. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Only time doctor doesn't see fit to see me anytime soon, so I'm just going on my way. Hallelujah. Declaring that Jesus is doing a work. He said to rise up. And I'm saying to you this morning, brothers and sisters, to rise up. Hallelujah. To rise up. Let's stand to our feet.
Hallelujah.
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 Come on. Rise up. Let's lift our hands.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
Out of Zion shall come a
end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.